Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship today at St. Mark's on the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. In today's service, the scripture lessons are going to issue both a warning to us and an encouragement to us. The warning that the Word of God will issue to us today is to not reject the message that we hear in the Word of God, to not turn away from it when it makes us uncomfortable or when we prefer not to take to heart what God is telling us in His Word. The encouragement that we will hear in today's service is when the shoe's on the other foot, when we are the proclaimer, when we are the one sharing God's Word, to remember that sometimes people do reject that message. Sometimes in people's default sinful condition, they don't like the message from God's Word that we may proclaim. But that God reminds us that faithfulness is not how people respond, but simply faithfully proclaiming what He has given us. And we'll hear those warnings and encouragements in the scripture lessons, hymns, and sermon for today's service. The opening hymn, 735, will be found in the blue hymnal supplement, as will the third hymn in today's service. The second and fourth hymns will be found in the red hardcover hymnal. And after the opening hymn, we'll follow the service that begins on page 3 in the service booklet. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand as we follow the service on page 3.
Oh Lord, open my lips.
My mouth shall declare your grace.
Hasten to save me, O God.
O Lord, come quickly to help me.
Give glory to God, our light and our life. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief.
Forever.
Amen.
Lord,
In today's first scripture lesson, God calls the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel to proclaim his word to his people. But it is noteworthy to see in this account that God warns Ezekiel that his people will often reject the message. Yet God calls Ezekiel to faithfulness, faithfulness defined not by the response, but by being faithful and true to the word of God. A reading from the prophet Ezekiel in chapters 2 and 3. He, that is the Lord, said to me, that is Ezekiel, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says,' and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. He then said to me, "Son of man, go now to the house of Israel, and speak my words to them." This is the word of the Lord. Just as God warned Ezekiel in the first lesson, so the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in the second lesson, reminding and warning him that there will be many times when people reject the message and turn to those who tell them what they want to hear. But just as God called Ezekiel to faithfulness, so Paul calls Timothy and all of us to faithfulness when we proclaim his word. A reading from the second letter to Timothy in chapters 3 and 4. Paul writes, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." This is the word of the Lord. Out of respect for the words and works of Jesus in the gospel, please stand. The gospel for today will also be the basis of this morning's sermon, the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." And he was amazed at their lack of faith. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. There is an unwritten rule among pastors that you never accept a call to serve the congregation where you grew up. You probably can figure out why. I've been at St. Mark's 4 years now, but a year before you called me to be your pastor, I received a call to serve in a very similar situation, similar call, at a church that is in southeast Wisconsin, walking distance from our seminary, less than a 10-minute drive from my parents' house, and within reasonable driving distance of more than one Lutheran high school, which is a very attractive thought as my kids get older. And I tell people that I declined that call 5 years ago, and they say, why? That just sounds perfect. Why would you decline it? And then I tell them, well, this church runs the Lutheran grade school that I attended from first through eighth grade. And the light bulb goes on. Because I would have become the pastor not only to my grade school classmates who remember me, but also to their parents who all remember little Johnald. And it would be awfully hard. It would create some challenges in the ministry for people who remember the little boy to accept and even to respect the man they remember as the little boy now as their pastor. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why Jesus didn't fare so well in the gospel for today. The gospel for today comes from the start of Mark chapter 6, where Jesus is serving as the guest preacher in his hometown's synagogue on a Sabbath day. Jesus was only a guest preacher. He was not the resident rabbi. But instead of being the hometown hero, which we might have expected, Jesus, the hometown prophet, was rejected. Now, none of us claim Nazareth as our hometown. We're not going to reject Jesus because we know him from a long time ago. But the gospel for today contains a warning for us, lest we reject Jesus for our own reasons. It also contains an encouragement for us and a glimpse into the grace and patience of God. So as we work through today's gospel and take a look at how the hometown hero was rejected, we want to see an amazed rejection of Jesus, but also an amazed reaction from Jesus. There is always a certain level of excitement when a son of the congregation serves as the guest preacher. A couple of summers ago, we were privileged to have seminary student Gunnar Lederman in this pulpit, a son of this congregation. And in a couple of months, Pastor Kevin Boschek, who serves a church, one of our churches in Indiana, will come back to be the guest preacher for our final 50th anniversary service. And on occasions like that, there's a certain level of excitement, there's a certain joy and pride in the congregation, not just for the parents who are watching their son preach from the pulpit, but really from the whole congregation, who now have seen that little boy grow up to be an adult man and now a pastor, or just about a pastor. There's a certain feeling of pride and joy for everybody on those occasions. If we look at Luke's account of this incident, it seems that Jesus' guest preaching appearance began with some level of enthusiasm and joy as Jesus started. But it didn't take long for that enthusiasm to drift away. Mark cuts right to the chase in today's gospel. When the Sabbath came, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Mark tells us that the crowd was amazed. And if you look at the whole reading, you'll note that at the end of the reading, it also says that Jesus was amazed. However, if we look under the hood, if we look at the original language of the New Testament, we'll see that there are two different Greek words, both translated with the same English word, amazed. The word here, amazed, to describe the crowd, describes their reaction as people who just took this all in, heard this message of Jesus, and they were just overwhelmed. It was too much for them to handle. You can hear it in their words. Where did this man get these things? Today we'd say, who does this guy think he is? There's something very, very negative about their statement. This man, where did this man get these things? This Jesus guy was a carpenter once upon a time. And carpenters were not the most highly thought of profession in the first century. Some of these people probably had furniture that Jesus built in their homes. This guy is now telling us that he's the Messiah. We can name his brothers. His sisters are right here in town among us. And he's telling us that he's the long-promised Savior. This was just too much for most of them. Why did Nazareth reject Jesus? Well, Mark tells us in the Gospel in verse 4, only in his hometown, among his relatives and in his own house, is a prophet without honor. I suppose there's little risk of that happening here today. None of us is from Nazareth. Jesus is not physically in the pulpit this morning, and there are 2,000 years separating Jesus' entrance in this world with us today. We are not likely to reject Jesus because he's from our hometown. He's not. But we are likely to reject Jesus. We run that risk when Jesus and his word hit a little too close to home for our comfort. It's easy to stand up for God's word, even publicly, even in the public sector, when we agree with what it has to say. A couple of weeks ago, 5 black robe justices on the U.S. Supreme Court redefined marriage for the United States. And we can proudly, publicly say, hey, God's word defines marriage, God defines marriage, and despite what anybody says in this country, it is one man, one woman, united for life. And we can say that and stand by that because that doesn't make us too uncomfortable to proclaim that message. It's when the word of God, it's when Jesus' message hits a little too close to home that we begin to find ways to redefine what Jesus really meant. We begin to find ourselves amazed and overwhelmed at what Jesus said. Did God really say that? I can't believe he would have said that. A negative thought towards somebody is just as bad as a harmful action? No, that can't be. Good people, people who've suffered a lot, people who maybe die in a horrible way, they're going to end up in hell because they don't believe in Jesus? I can't accept that. That just can't be. We're supposed to grow this congregation by preaching the same old message, by using the same old water, by consuming the same old sips of wine and bites of bread. That's going to grow. That's going to strengthen the church. I can't accept that. That's just too much. Pick the thing that overwhelms and amazes you in a negative way, but we all have something. And we too become amazed and in our own way reject the hometown prophet when his words, his message to us, hit a little too close to home. It has been said that an expert is somebody who comes from more than 100 miles away. There's some element of truth to that, right? Somebody in your home, somebody in your business, somebody in your organization can offer a suggestion, and you know them really well, and it's just hard to accept that advice from somebody that you are so close to. But bring in somebody you don't know from 100 miles away, have them give you a little speech or presentation, and we're all nodding our heads in agreement, yes, this is a good idea for us to do. I suppose that was part of the problem with Jesus' rejection. He should have been the hometown hero. Instead, Jesus said quite boldly that an outsider would have been a better judge of who Jesus is than the people of his own hometown. Only in his hometown, among his relatives and in his own house, is a prophet without honor. But Jesus' response was more than a verbal response. Jesus' response was also a nonverbal response. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Because Nazareth rejected Jesus as the promised Savior, Jesus was not able to perform to at least the same degree the miracles in Nazareth as he did in other places where he preached. Now, at first reading, that sounds like Jesus somehow lost his ability to perform miracles, as if it was the people's faith, or in this case, the people's rejection, that limited Jesus' power to perform a miracle. But this is not a case of Jesus losing the ability, losing his power as true God. As one Bible commentator, one Bible scholar wrote, this is not a physical limitation or a power limitation, this is a moral limitation. Let me draw an analogy to today's news headlines. You are probably well acquainted of the case of the baker, who is a Christian in the state of Oregon, who refused to bake a wedding cake for a gay marriage reception. And as a result, this couple has been severely fined and lost their business for this case of so-called discrimination. If you would ask the baker why she wouldn't bake the cake, she would say, I can't do it. Now, does she literally not have the ability to bake that cake? No. For her, she could not do anything. It would violate her conscience. It was a moral limitation for her to do something that encouraged in any way, that suggested in any way that she might say, this is okay in the eyes of God. That's not a perfect illustration, but it gives you a little sense of why Jesus didn't perform miracles here. He didn't have inability to perform them. Rather, he was not going to do them for people who had outright rejected him. He was not going to put on some show or display of power to unbelievers and skeptics who rejected him in utter amazement. So we've seen Jesus' verbal reaction to Nazareth. We've seen his nonverbal reaction to Nazareth. And now Mark wraps up the account with an overall summary of Jesus' reaction. He was amazed at their lack of faith. This is a different word for amazed than the word that was used earlier. This word gives the sense that Jesus kind of looked back at the situation. He stepped back from it all, and he saw what had just happened. He saw how Nazareth completely rejected him when they should have known better. And he just marveled and wondered at why people would react in such a manner. But you know what amazes me about Jesus? What amazes me is that he was only amazed. Let's play God for a minute. You are Jesus. You are God in human flesh. And your hometown rejects you and ridicules you and insults you. What are you going to do? I know what I would do. You're amazed? You're going to reject me in amazement? I'll give you a reason to be amazed. I'll amaze you all the way to hell. These people should be in more trouble than an investor who put all his funds in a Greek bank. And what does Jesus do? That's not how Jesus handled it. And frankly, it's not how he deals with us either. Jesus certainly has every reason to be amazed at the sinful human nature in us that just naturally, in a default sort of way, rejects him and his word. But instead of wrath, Jesus deals with us in patience, giving us time to repent and to receive him as our Savior and Lord. Instead of punishment, Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit, who has used the word of God to lead us to believe the word and receive his grace and trust in Jesus' forgiving work. Instead of sending us to judgment, Jesus sent himself to judgment on the cross to endure the judgment for our sin, to free us forever from that judgment. Instead of leaving us to the end results of our sin, Jesus showers our thirsty, drought-stricken hearts with the gentle rains of his nourishing grace that he obtained for us on the cross, that keeps us trusting him this side of heaven, and that will one day bring us inside the doors of heaven forever. Last weekend, while my family and I were on vacation, we spent the 4th of July in my hometown, Cedarburg, Wisconsin, just one city north of that city where the church was that I talked about in the sermon introduction. Near the start of the 4th of July parade, of course, the police car comes first to kind of clear out the streets of downtown, and then comes the American flag and the other state and military flags. But shortly thereafter comes the hometown heroes, the servicemen, who have served in various branches of our armed forces. And it was just so patriotic and heartwarming to see the way my hometown welcomed those men as they walked through downtown. Everybody was standing and their hats were already off because the flag had come through, but they stayed standing. And they cheered loudly. And they applauded these men who have sacrificed to protect our freedoms and who have put their lives on the line in various parts of the world in defense of our nation. We kind of would have liked to see Jesus receive that reception in the gospel for today. But thanks to the working of God's word in our hearts, the Holy Spirit has led us not to respond in that way,
but to receive Jesus gladly and warmly. We trust in him as our Savior. We honor him in our lives. We confess him before others so that they too can learn of Jesus and move from rejection to repentance and receiving him as their Savior. We may not be from Jesus' hometown, but thank God, and dear friends, never ever take for granted the fact that through his Holy Spirit, Jesus has made his home in your heart. Amen. Please turn to pages 8 and 9 in the service booklet. We respond to God's word with the song of praise, "You Are God, We Praise You."
Thank you.
joining the prayer of the church this morning, let us pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise and glorify you for the unsurpassed gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We confess that we are unworthy sinners who have transgressed your will and word. We repent of our evil and pray for the faith that trusts utterly and completely in the righteousness of Christ Jesus for our forgiveness. Open our hearts to the mighty power of your word. Teach us to depend on your holy sacrament for spiritual strength. Grant that our minds may be renewed in righteousness, that our consciences may be stirred to choose the good, and that every thought, word, and deed may be brought into captivity to Christ. Give to your church ministers and teachers who have the faithfulness and courage of true prophets, that your people may be built up in faith, abound in good works, rejoice in your love, and finally enter your heavenly kingdom. We pray for our country. Give us citizens who perceive that the standard of all that is right is not personal advancement or private favor or personal opinion or party platform, but your holy will. Lavish your grace on all families, that each home may, by its Christian love and character, be for our children a preview of the joy and blessedness of our heavenly home. For all who are in any sickness, pain, anguish, or suffering, for all who are in any danger of body or soul, we pray. Teach them to turn to you and wait on you for mercy. Grant them hope and a joyous deliverance from all their trials, and let them walk in your light all their days. We thank you for watching over Shirley Marks during her recent hospitalization. Bless her now as she recovers at home. Give her patience to accept your will and the peace that comes only through the knowledge of your Son's saving work for us. Bless all who participate this week in Tree of Life Bible Camp. Give safe travels to all who attend. Through this unique ministry, strengthen the faith of those who teach and those who learn, and increase the bonds of fellowship among the youth and adults who participate. All these things and whatever else is on our hearts and minds, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our refuge and our hope. Amen. We join to sing the third hymn found in the Blue Hymnal Supplement.
Thank you.
At this time, I invite the members of the 2015-16 St. Mark's Church Council to come forward to be installed into their offices as members of the Church Council. Gentlemen, you may now come forward. Dear friends in Christ, in holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ liberated you from sin and death and made you members of his body, the church. Through word and sacrament, you have been nurtured in faith. You have now been selected for positions of service to our Lord on behalf of this congregation. The Lord has entrusted you with an office which you are to carry out as his servants according to his word. St. Paul wrote concerning service in the church, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." The Lord seeks faithfulness from all who serve. As Scripture says, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. The Lord does not seek from us what he has not given to us, but when he does give a gift, his will is that we use it faithfully to his glory and for the benefit of his people. You are also as servants of Jesus Christ and workers in this congregation to set for your own families and the whole church the example of Christian lives. Make the word of God your foundation and guide. Search it daily for comfort and instruction. So that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I ask you in the presence of God and this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully carry out the office entrusted to you according to the ability which God gives you? If so, then answer, I will, and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
I now install you as officers of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jim Oswald, President of the Congregation, Blake McPeak, Chairman of the Board of Adult Discipleship, Paul Baker, Chairman of the Board of Elders, and David Call, Chairman of the Board of Outreach. We also install a man who's up in the balcony today as our pianist, Marty Puckett, as Chairman of the Board of Worship. May God grant you his Holy Spirit and give you wisdom and strength to carry out your duties for his good and for the good of his people. Members of St. Mark's, I urge you to regard these fellow believers as servants of Jesus Christ and God's gifts to his church. Pray for them, support them in their service, and help them so that through the gospel ministry of this congregation, more people will be reached for Christ and his kingdom. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious God, our lives are open before you and you hear our promises. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit into the hearts of these your servants, that they may carry out their duties with diligence, boldness, and wisdom. Give them a spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need they may present their requests to you. Help them be examples of what is good, that by their lives they may build up your congregation and give the enemies of the church no cause for complaint. Make them a blessing to your believers, help them to work with their pastors and one another, and grant that by their service the unity of this congregation be strengthened, your name be hallowed, your kingdom be enlarged, and your will be done. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go then and give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Almighty and merciful God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in peace. Our service concludes on page 10 in the service booklet. Please stand.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
God of all power and might, you are the giver of all that is good. Help us love you with all our heart. Strengthen us in true faith. Provide us with all we need, and keep us safe in your care. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Let us praise the Lord.
Sunday we began the summer quarter of Bible classes here at St. Mark's. We have two classes,
One that takes a look at the Sunday scripture lessons, especially the lessons that were not the basis for the sermon. That class I will teach, and it will meet in here. And then there's also a parenting class with different topics every week. They're listed in the news for this week, and it was also listed in last week's news as well. That class today will be led by Mr. Bauer, our principal. It'll meet in the Luther room. Each of these classes work that every week is independent. So there's a different set of lessons every week, and you don't have to be at the previous week or the next week for the class each Sunday to make sense. Same with the parenting class. That's designed intentionally during the summer months when there's lots of vacations and people are in and out. So if you weren't in class last Sunday, don't think that you're going to miss something by joining either of the classes today. We encourage your participation. Also in the news for this week, notice that the mother's room has now been completed. A lot of you peeked your heads in there before the service and saw what a great job has been done in there and how warm and attractive it is, just as the nursery also was recently done, and it's just a little glimpse of what's going to be happening in the church. In fact, the color scheme you see in there is going to be the color scheme that you'll see in the church when we start the renovation later at the end of summer and early fall. So it's just something to take note of as well. With that, we'll take a look at the Wells Connection video for the month of July.